I've told you before that I'd really just like to keep my place there on that pew and be a worshiper throughout the service. Sometimes I feel like preaching might mess up the good Spirit of God. And that you've heard from the Lord and I trust your heart moved toward Him. Nevertheless, God has ordained preaching and He's ordained it through ignorant, unlearned, weak, helpless creatures. So with your continued prayers, would you turn with me to Exodus chapter number 3. God's ways certainly are not our ways. A lot of times He seems to do things backwards as to our way of thinking. But He is God. I was thinking, as you were singing about approaching unto God, that's almost unbelievable to me. How a creature of dust can speak to the eternal God. And make known your heart. Exodus 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. The steps of a good man are ordered. Most of the time you don't know the path that you will be taking in that day, but it is ordered. It is directed by the Lord. Moses didn't have any idea that this day would be one of a beginning, of a different life. He was just taking care of the duty that God had given. He probably was not even consciously aware that God sent him there. God had him watch after sheep. And this day, he came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. Some places it's called Mount Sinai. Here's Moses. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. and naturally thinking. Moses, raised in Pharaoh's court, trained in the Egyptian schools. He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame. Verse 2. And Moses is looking at what's taking place here. And the Lord sees that he turned aside to investigate this, and then God called unto him. So the angel in verse 2 must have been one of those times when the pre-incarnate Christ came down to earth. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he, God, said, stop. Folk worship is a weighty issue. You can't approach it in a light-hearted, frivolous manner. If you do, you'll never worship. God said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It's different today than it was yesterday. Yesterday, it's just a plot of ground. Today, because of the presence of God, it's a holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. And I find that to be so in every individual that has an encounter and a revelation of the person of God to his or her heart. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Just a little tidbit here. Unless I am mistaken, that is one sentence. And I recall reading in some of the old writers, and they would go on and on and on in just a sentence. Now, I don't know, back in the 70s, I think, newspapers were then written on the third grade level. I don't know what level they're written on today. But we sure have dumbed down America. And we're not going to read any books that's got a sentence with more than four or five, six words. Verse 9, "Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. And here's the purpose. And a couple of weeks ago, God spoke this verse to my heart, and I hope it has reference to you. Bring my people out. I've just shortened it. Come, Moses. I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Bring my people out. Two things there, and I know that we will not get to these this morning, and I don't promise you that we will. Coming out of Egypt and coming from under the bondage of Pharaoh. And I would, or I should say, the one great desire in my heart this morning is that every person here leave saying, "The Lord sent that message especially for me." One of the silliest things I've ever heard has been an excuse from one or two that they would not come back here because I was preaching to them. My soul, folk, why do you go? Is it not that the preacher, no, that God, through him, speak to your heart? And John was placed on an island all alone. In Revelation 1, he said, "And I turned," he'd heard a voice, "I turned to see." Folk, you don't ever turn to see a voice. You turn to see the one who is speaking. "And I turned to see a voice," or the voice, "and being turned." Now, I don't know if the being turned is in regard to his new position. He was turning, and now he has been turned. That could be what he's saying. But whether it is or not, I know this for a fact, that if we ever begin to do, it will only be because God enabled you to finish that which you started. I might start to turn. God's got to turn me. I might start to hear. God's got to enable me to hear. I might come to the house of God for the express purpose of worship, but I can't do it. God got to help me. John quoted Philippians 2, I think 12, that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Next word. For you do it. I make an effort to turn. God has to enable me. For it is God that worketh in you to will, to want to, and then to do. And being turned, I didn't see the boys. I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Now here's where I want to get one day. Sometimes I think we are at the verge. Sometimes I think we are close. Sometimes I think we have a little glimpse. But we're not there yet, children. You gotta come out so we can come on. And being turned to see the boys, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. But here's the grand thing. And in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man. If you want to draw a picture of Jesus, go to Revelation chapter 1, beginning verse 12, 13, somewhere in there. And there you've got a description. It's not this picture that's passed around in America. Mm-mm. You can't paint deity. You can't draw it. God said, don't you make, because you can't make an image. If you started in the wood shop to make an image, when you get through, you got yourself. Because you're going to make an image like unto you. But in the middle of the 7 golden candlesticks, and said, they are the churches, I saw one like the Son of Man. Yep, we will have that day. I don't know if I will be here or hopefully by grace in His presence, but if you press on, you will have more of Christ in your midst than you can possibly believe. I trust this morning that you will leave with thankfulness and with a sense of humility, because in the midst of the candlestick, you heard the voice speaking to you, because he's not talking to many people. You are not here to perform some little religious ritual or ceremony. You do not go to your Bible to keep up the reading. You go, or you come here to be brought out from where you are. But it's not the bringing out. It's the getting in. The place the Lord has for us. All Israel, 600,000 footmen, not including the wives, not including the children, not including the young men under probably the age of 20. May not have been including the men past the age of 60. But every Israelite came out of Egypt, but most died in the wilderness. And you think on that sometime this week. Romans, Paul said, not as though the word of God had none effect. Word means fall away, or be cast. Not as though the word of God cast, but it did. For not all Israel, which are Israel. A lot of Jews came out, but not all of them were Israelites. For he is not a Jew outwardly, Romans 2, last few verses. Not outwardly. And that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, doesn't make an Israelite. So the Jew, no, we don't watch the Jews over there in that land to find out what's going on biblically. For the true Jew is a child of God. The true Israel is the church. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but one inwardly, because the circumcision is not outward in the flesh. That never made a true Jew. The only thing that made a true Jew was circumcision of heart in the spirit and not of the letter. Coming out is only the beginning. Most of them died. All of them came out. Moses said later, he brought us out that he might bring us in. Don't any of you come short. Children, every one of us, Every last one of us, like Pilgrim, we get to that place. Climbing up the mountain, and we find some good shade or an arbor. And we are so weary with our journey, and physically almost, we think, exhausted, that we sit down. And before we know it, we are asleep. The virgin, for the most part, are asleep today. So we sit down. Don't you build any altars up there in the high places under the shade trees? God knew what we'd do. We get into a comfortable position. We just sit down. Now, folks, in verse number 1, of Exodus 3. Moses is at Horeb. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1. All of them came out, but all in Israel were not true Israelites. I do not know how many out of the over 1 million, at least, by low estimation. I do not know how many of them are here. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 6, Moses was Exodus 3, verse 1. Now all Israel is here. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. You've had a time of rest. But you've been here long enough. Now is God talking to anybody? Where you are, you've been there long enough. Folk, I'm not talking about a physical place. Not necessarily. I'm talking about a place in your spiritual journey. It's God speaking to somebody that has sat down, found a cool place, a comfortable seat, and you've just sat down and you've been there for quite a while. You have dwelt there long enough. Get up. It is an amazing and an astonishing reality to me in Christendom today that people call themselves Christians because they've had an encounter with God one time and nothing further has developed. They are at the same place they were when they supposedly met God. These young children, God sparing, Christ carrying, growing up, will be a condemnation to everybody that professes to be a Christian that has not been growing and developing. If you ever truly met God, you will continually be moving onward, seeking after that one that you met. People today have no need of searching. They have no need of following on to know. They think they got enough knowledge at their introduction to the Lord Jesus. It's not so, children. If God saved you, He is continually saving you. It's as foolish to think that's not so as it is to think that a baby born will never have need of food, of water, of love. Foolish. For the invisible things of Him are clearly seen by the things that He has made. If you have life in your soul, that very life will forever have an interest in its maintenance and in its development, and its maintenance comes only from getting back to the source of life. I am the way, the truth, the light, the life. And it's found but in one place. And that's in the living, not the written Word of God. Moses' curiosity If all you need is your curiosity satisfied, and you search the book maybe to find contradictions so that you will be excused from obedience because you found some contradicting passages. If you hunt for them, they're there. I guarantee you they're there. I believe one of the reasons that they are seemingly contradictions in this book is for the express purpose of God helping those that want to be deceived. So it's not inspired. If you find a contradiction, the contradiction's in your mind. If you'll give it time and meditate on it, you'll find out they don't contradict. And it is the Word of God. If ever there was a sincere and honest seeking after God, though God will give you the necessary faith to follow on and to know. How many of you know Jesus? How many of you? You know me. And the reason that you know me is because I go in and out among you. Do you know Christ? That's salvation. John 17:3. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have life, and they are they which testify of me. So Moses' curiosity, because the bush is not burned, and then God in the bush, God calling out. If at the bush there is more than natural curiosity stirred and you have an encounter with God, you will be humbled on your face. And there will be a godly reverence and a godly fear worked in your soul. If at the bush curiosity is satisfied, you'll walk away filled with pride. Now in verse number 5, Exodus 3, don't come close to me. Then when we get everything right, a proper perspective, and God working in our soul, that which is right, and a reverent disposition is worked in our heart, then you'll hear verse number 10. Come. Stay away. He met God. Got a right heart now. Now God says, come. And the multitudes were flocking to the Lord Jesus, seeing and having him heal and being fed. And the Lord Jesus said to every one of them, all of you stop. Don't you come a step closer to me. We go out there inviting everybody to Jesus. Jesus said, you stop. And he'll stop you. And if it is a true heart in seeking after and reverence is worked in your soul, then you'll hear him say, now come on, come all you that labor and your soul there is no rest. You are hunting after, you are seeking, you're trying to find. Then to that soul, Jesus says, come. And that lonely disciple, as far as the world's concerned, that lonely disciple, Revelation 4, he hears a voice likened to the sound of a trumpet, and he sees a door open before him, and that voice says, come. But the come is only after Revelation 1. I fell at his feet as dead. He gonna kill you. Start you dying before life starts flowing through your soul, through your veins. And now he's dead at the very feet of the Lord Jesus, and Christ empowers him and raises him up. And from Revelation 1, ever how long the amount of time is he's walking with, he's hearing. He is having the life of God continually being infused into his soul, and he sees a door. Folks, that's not the church going up in rapture. That's the individual soul that God is calling from the earth up into the holy hill where God is. You say, God dwells everywhere. I know, but God's got that special place that is high above the earth. And he's got that entrance for it only you can come and fellowship with God in flesh. I guarantee you, you're not going to God as Jesus being your good buddy and your best friend. Someday you may find that to be so. But you're going to God, not on the basis of friendship, but on the basis of sinfulness. And you're going to Christ, and it's not this poor, helpless little Jesus that is portrayed today. It is Almighty God. It is Christ on the throne. It is the great High Priest clothed from head to foot. Girded about with that golden girdle. You're going to God sitting on the throne. You're going to the one that has the keys of hell and of death. He's got the power to throw me into hell any minute, and rightly he could do so. But he's got the keys of life. And I grant you this, you're not going there with any power within yourself. That's not going to get you there. Anybody supposing that God is sovereign over all things except man's will implies that men have the ability to exercise their will outside the sovereignty of God. Which means that man's not completely lost. Man's not completely dead, because he still holds the power to believe. You don't. You don't have that power. You don't have the power to exercise faith. Well, believe. There's a partial truth in that. But the believing comes from God enabling and gifting you to believe. Don't you come near Moses. You've got 40 years of training, educated. Don't know how much science you had. But that bush is not going to be figured out in the lab. Don't you come. once two things are established. Number one, you are a sinner. You're not going to God outside that reality. And number two, that God is too holy to forgive sin. And that puts us in a fix. If God could forgive sin, then He wouldn't be just. If you go to heaven, somebody paid your debt. Somebody paid the bill you owed to God. You lived as you pleased. You breathed God's air. You drank God's water. You ate God's food. And you did it all. You did it all for the maintenance of the old man without ever giving one thought of God. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ paid every single and all debt you owe to God. And if you ever have it worked in your soul that you are a sinner, and that God Almighty, only through Christ, can receive your person, then you might hear, come. Come now, therefore. When you know who you are, and you can't know who you are till there's some revelation of God. And when there's some revelation of God in your heart and in your mind, that automatically makes you to know who you are. And then in grace, you might hear a sweet, soft whisper in your soul, come now, therefore, unto me. Draw nigh, you sinners. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Look at Psalm 145, if you would, please. Psalm 145:18. The Lord, that is, the sinner made aware that he or she is a sinner. The Lord, that is the one that sinners must see to know. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. Children, that's one of the sweetest promises that you can ever lay hold of. God, in sincerity and in honesty, He said, I'm nigh you that call upon me. But here's the condition of calling. To all that call upon Him in true doctrine, truth, or in divine instruction, truth. It's not what the preacher said, it's what God said in your soul. And the condemnation of the great crowd of Israel was this from the Lord: for as much as this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, And with their lips they do honor me, but their hearts are far from me, for their fear, listen now, for their fear is taught by the precepts of men. We'll never have Christ manifest here until the people of God have a reverence and godly fear that comes only by the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Nobody can teach you the fear of God. The blind man in John 9 was healed. He's physically whole now. He can see. But he didn't know who it was that healed him. And Jesus comes to him when he finds out that the church has kicked him out. And says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord?" Nothing about the healing. "The one that speaks to you. I am he." He said, "Lord, I believe." You can be healed of a lot of things, but you better hope Christ continues to come back to you so that you can believe and keep on believing. So Moses was called before God now. And it was to bring the people of God out and shepherd them on. You'll never need a deliverer until the conditions within are pressing so upon your soul that unless God helps, you're finished. Verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely, Exodus 3, I may have had you in Psalm 145, I'm sorry. Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. All the 40 years that God was preparing the shepherd, God was preparing a people so that when Moses is fully prepared of God to become the shepherd, the condition of the people is in such a dire strait that they are begging God for help. Some of you have comfortably sat down, and it's time for you to move on towards God. Quit sitting where you are. God give you rest, but it won't be for a lengthy period of time. You'll grow complacent. And to keep looking at all the other virgins, you ever yawned because you saw somebody else do it? I bet you have. You keep looking at other people, and you'll end up in the same condition as they. Moses is being prepared, but the people need great oppression to prepare them to receive a deliverer. To prepare them to receive news from a far country and to a thirsty soul, it is as a cold drink of water. Wouldn't it be something to hear from God every day? Wouldn't it be a blessing to have such a need in your soul that you couldn't get through the day without Christ? Wouldn't it? You'll never need a Savior until you are a sinner. And you'll never need a Redeemer as long as you are in an easy, comfortable place. Now it's time to begin your journey again, moving towards God. I close with this, Isaiah chapter 9. First 12, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. Yet for all this, God's anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. I've heard it said and read it in counselors' books, and smite a child, afflict them with wounds to help them, but then take them up and love them. The people turneth not unto him that smiteth them. Well, you're doing that to me for, Lord. I'm the good Christian. Neither do they see the Lord of hosts. Okay, because of that, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, and one day the ancient and honorable, he's the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. Now listen to this. For the leaders of this people caused them to err. The leaders. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Moses, go back to Egypt to bring my people out. But because they came out, does not mean that they will go in to the land of Canaan. I think most of you here make the profession that God has brought you out. My concern is, will He bring you in all the way through your wilderness journey? Will He bring you in? It's not the getting out. And that's the end. It's not me getting saved. And that's the end. No, it's me following the shepherd all the days of my life. May God bless it to the individual hearts. Awaken, alert, enable you to stand and to walk on with God. Tim, you lead us in our closing hymn. Tobe, will you dismiss us?